You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Dominic, you're here with me in Madison in the Solidarity Realty Studios. I'm going to call this one Happy July 5th, the Hangover Edition.
It's a hump day, seems like a Monday. Good to see you, Crudy, always. Evan, working the board, our fair audience. I'm just getting comfortable here, you know. Checking my pockets, and I got a little koozie from the weekend.
A can koozie?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a hell of a couple of days.
You got to keep your beer cold.
Well, you never know. It is Wisconsin. You got to be prepared for all things.
Check your pockets. No cocaine falling out?
No, hell no.
Dominic, we got fine guests joining us in studio. Scott Ross, Firebrand. I'm not sure if he's got an official title.
Firebrand Gemini, friend of the Devil's Advocates, man.
Absolutely.
That's all you need.
He's joining us here in the Madison studio about 4:30. Also, over the weekend, and I'll share a little of my work. I worked.
What?
I worked on the 4th of July.
What?
C-SPAN hit.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Was that you? I wasn't sure.
It was me behind the graphic. We'll talk about that. But let's start with the most important story, air quotes. We're calling it the lead. Tony Evers has signed another Republican budget.
It is by evidence of Tony Evers' signature. It is by very definition, by nature, by fact, it is a bipartisan bill, Michael.
Don't tell Robin Voss that. Yeah. He said he's basically stole all the Republicans' good ideas and then went back to his liberal ideology.
Oh, is that what it was?
I believe the quote's in this fine piece. Journalist Molly Beck and Jesse Apoyan at the Journal Sentinel. Now, Tony Evers uses veto powers to extend annual increases for public schools for the next 4 centuries.
Oh, wow.
Wow, talking about locking it in.
That is a commitment.
An interesting partial veto. Governor Tony Evers, a former public school educator, used his broad partial veto authority this week to sign into law a new state budget that increases funding for public schools for the next 4 centuries.
400 years.
The Evers Enlightenment? The surprise move, the surprise move will ensure districts' state-imposed limits on how much revenue they're allowed to raise will be increased by $325 per student each year until 2425, creating a permanent annual stream of new revenue for public schools and potentially curbing a key debate between Democrats and Republicans during each state budget writing cycle. Evers told reporters at a press conference at the Wisconsin State Capitol today his actions would provide school districts with predictable long-term increases for the foreseeable future.
Foreseeable.
Oh, yeah.
For 400 years, that's foreseeable.
Now, how did Tony pull off the 400-year of consecutive increases? Well, apparently, he crafted the four-century school aid extension by striking a hyphen and a 20 from the reference to the 2024-2025 school year. So he turned a hyphen into a new year, 2425, right?
Yeah.
The increase of $325 per student is the highest single-year increase in revenue limits in state history and will be for the next 400 years consecutively.
Wow.
Boom! Boom goes the dynamite. The veto was one of more than four dozen the Democratic governor made to the reshape, let's say reshape the $99 billion, that's a lot of jing, $99 billion two-year state budget Republicans passed last week. Amongst the vetoes was the majority of the centerpiece of Republican lawmakers' budget plan, a $3.5 billion tax cut that focused relief for the state's wealthiest residents.
Well, it was the GOP budget, and that is their priority.
Instead, the reshape budget will provide $175 million. Boy, that's a big difference. $3.5 billion, Tony shaved it down to $175 million in tax relief and won't condense the state's four income tax brackets into three, as Republicans proposed.
Now, let's think about this for a moment. If he wiped out the Republicans' plan to give a tax break to the very wealthy, that was going to cost, what, $3.5 billion? And what he left in for the remainder of us, for those lowered brackets, was only $175 million. That doesn't seem quite equitable, does it?
To rich people, no, they're not going to like that.
Yeah.
Here's what Robin Voss, who often serves the rich, well, they call him Boss Voss. Here's what he had to say. Legislative Republicans worked tirelessly over the last few months to block Governor Evers' liberal tax and spending agenda. Unfortunately, because of his powerful veto authority, he reinstated some of it today.
Yeah.
The liberal given to the schools.
For 400 years. Crudy, Assembly Majority Leader Tyler August said the move broke a deal between Evers and GOP lawmakers on school funding as part of a broader agreement on a separate bill to boost funding for local governments that was aimed at saving Milwaukee from entering a fiscal crisis. Here's a quote from August. After months of good faith negotiations on major budget items, it is unacceptable. He went back on his word and broke our agreement. It will be difficult, if not impossible, to ever negotiate with this governor again in the future. Evers' spokeswoman, Britt Kutubek, said August, quote, was never part of any conversation the governor had with Republican leaders.
So he's complaining about negotiations he was not a part of.
If he had been, he'd know that the governor upheld every part of the bipartisan compromise reached with the speaker and the majority leader, Kutubek said in a tweet, referring to Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu. Dan Rossmiller, who represents the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, said the permanent annual funding increase was certainly appreciated, but Rossmiller said the impact of additional funding could vary by district and worried the increase wasn't enough to meet or exceed the rate of inflation for some districts. I wish the amount would have been higher, Rossmiller said. With inflation at 40-year highs, it's really important to be able to attract and retain teachers and staff and be able to pay the increased cost of everything in a school district's budget.
Well, over the next 400 years, it will cast out in the right trajectory.
I think so, perhaps.
That's quite a deal, Dom. One more point. Evers, in regards to the elimination of the DEI money, right? Evers vetoed the elimination of 188 UW system jobs. He vetoed a plan from Republican lawmakers to eliminate 188 positions within the UW system focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, but maintained the $32 million cut in funding that was paired with the staffing reduction. Now, Republicans put $32 million into a fund UW officials may request money from as long as the GOP-controlled committee approves the officials' plans for its use. So if I understood that, Dom, he moved some money around, kept all the employees, and also retained the $32 million cut, although he can still go back to the committee and seek the $32 million after the fact. So this is not a total veto. Oh, What do you do about the RNC?
Yeah, this one as well. The RNC, the Republican National Convention, will be held in Milwaukee next year. Could see less money come from taxpayers under the governor's action on Wednesday. Evers vetoed. He vetoed a $10 million grant for Visit Milwaukee, the city's tourism bureau, that Republicans included in the state budget without restrictions for how the money could be spent. Evers left in place $1 million for Visit Milwaukee and moved $9 million to the State Department of Tourism budget for marketing. So it seems to me what he pulled some of that money, $9 million out from the GOP or the RNC here in Milwaukee and put it towards general marketing expense.
I think Civic Media should be reaching out to the Wisconsin Tourism.
I think so.
For some of their marketing budget. Apparently they've got a windfall.
A little bit more here. Republican legislative leaders did not immediately say whether they would try to override Evers' budget action. Republicans failed to achieve a veto-proof supermajority in the Assembly in the November election, and any veto override would require three Dems to join all Republicans in an override vote. Republicans could also schedule a vote when a handful of Democrats are absent. You know, that's how they play ball. I wouldn't be surprised.
Don't forget, Dom, there is one vacancy. Your new state senator, Dan Canodal.
Oh, no, God.
We got a July 18th special election coming up, don't we?
We do, yes.
We had
coming
his,
quick.
We had the Democratic candidate, Tatterborn, something of that sort.
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
It's the guy, he's got the tatter in his name. Vote for that guy.
Vote for that guy. Vote for the Dem.
Any other points here, Dom? He didn't veto the entirety of the budget.
Well, I guess, right, that's kind of the thing, right? No Dems, to my understanding, voted for this budget. It's probably, man, you know, it's the adult thing to do. Someone's got to govern. You got to deal with, you know, the cards that are given to you. And I think he did a fine job. I wonder if he could do other things in that regard to make new laws. But, you know, here we are, and now we move on. Next.
Moving on. When he signed it, July 5th. That's pretty moderate. It was supposed to be signed by the 1st. I remember being at a Scotty Wanker budget signing in July, like the 15th in Waukesha. I think he announced he was running for president the very next day.
Very eager, that
and then
former
like
governor.
70 days later, he was done.
He had to hurry up and get out and run for president because the people wanted more of Scott Walker, don't you know?
Doesn't everybody want more Wanker?
Especially the Young Americas Foundation, the youth of America.
Young Adolphs?
Something like that.
I wonder what they did to celebrate the big national holiday.
Apparently, retweeting or putting out a Liberian flag. Looks very similar to the American flag, the national GOP. They had to delete that one and redo it, I guess.
Couldn't keep their flag straight. The American flag is the one that Trump humps on stage.
And it wasn't the Trump flag, so, you know, they're probably confused.
Very respectful what the former did with the flag.
Yeah.
I think he left a little DNA. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We're back. It's the 5th of July. It's a Wednesday. It feels like Monday. We've got Scott Ross coming in studio. And you on the phones, perhaps, 844-96-PARTY.
You just got to ignite the light and let it shine.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you stick around. Scott Ross, Firebrand Gemini, friend of the Devil's Advocates, can join us at 4:30. But you can hit us up now, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I've got two fourth weekend stories. One, last time I saw you, Friday in Waukesha, I was driving home. I hit a deer.
You got to be careful, man. This is Wisconsin.
First time I ever hit a deer in my life. I was actually talking to my business partner, Sage. And I'm on the phone with Sage. He's, you know, he's a low-key guy.
Were you hands-free, Crudy?
No.
Come on, man.
I was on speaker. I don't recall if it was the... No, I actually had one phone in the phone in one hand, not on the Bluetooth, on the speaker.
On speaker, gotcha.
Phone speaker.
Yeah.
So I'm driving, I'm going about 80 hitting the east side of Madison, skip the Beltline, pulling into town, 3990, whatever it is. I can see the Stoughton Road exit up the, and a big ass buck comes running off the side of the road. And I'm going like 80, 75. I jam on the brakes, go right, try to counter steer, go around this thing. And I hit it. And its legs came out, it fell on the concrete. And then it hopped up like I meant to do that. And this thing goes galloping off across six lanes of traffic. And So I tell Sage, I'm like, holy man, you know, just hit a deer. And he's like, oh. He's like, okay, have a great weekend then. You know, like no reaction. Like, oh, I hit deer every day.
Don't worry about it.
Well, hey,
you know what? You keep what you kill, Crudy. You should have gone back and got that thing.
I did speak with Joel Clayfish, our hunter, killer, yeah, cooker, yeah, buddy.
What are the rules?
Well, he said go back and run it over again.
Of course he did.
I don't know. My car was barely damaged, but there was like a skid mark on the hood. Like it did the Magnum across the hood. Like the deer got up on the hood. There's little bend in my thing and a little bit of fur stuck in my headlight. And otherwise you would have never known that a deer ran in front of me at like 80 miles per hour. Cause somehow, being the marvelous driver I am.
That's not at all the case, but good news. You had a little car, so you got underneath it and kind of just scooted off.
Hopped it up on my hood.
Yeah, all right.
The other part.
Kind of a tawny catane.
Sort of, yes.
And Whitesnake. Yeah.
Yes. Here we go again on our own. And I also did a little work this weekend. I appeared on C-SPAN, the topic of the day, patriotism. And I appeared via Zoom from the cabin. I was out by the back door.
Is that what, because your video feed was not great. How's the internet over there, man? Because they didn't have you on, man.
I, in fact, referenced the fact that Tony Evers is using the federal dollars to make an investment in broadband expansion outstate. I had never tried to do a Zoom conference from our little cabin. And so anyways, they put up a graphic of yours truly. And they really started out with, like, I didn't even know who they were talking about. Like, are they introducing me? Let's play it for the people, E-Bone, while there's time and perhaps time for your calls. E-Bone, play Crudy on C-SPAN. Cut one.
We're joined next, however, by radio host Mike Crute, who is with us from KTNF in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mike Crute, good morning and welcome to Washington Journal.
And then
well,
there's
thank
like,
you very much.
Thank you. A little delay. Thank you. I'm like, are they introducing me? Because I don't work for KTNF. I mean, I like those guys. We play out there, but, you know, that's not how I would self-identify. More.
You got to get some writers next time you agree to do these things, man.
They asked me what our listeners were like.
Awesome. Said, smart. Sexy.
And then there's CJ. Cut number two.
Mike, tell us about your show. When's it on and what are your listeners like?
Well, the Devil's Advocates radio show originates out of Madison, Wisconsin.
Thanks for that.
It's myself and my 30-year best friend and college roommate, Dominic Salvia.
Third best friend.
We broadcast from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time each weekday, and we play out on approximately 14 markets across Wisconsin, Chicago, Minneapolis, and on the Progressive Voices app.
Oh, that's mostly just me talking about us. What about the listeners? I guess I didn't get to them. What's the 4th of July mean to me? Cut number three.
Patriotism on this July 4th. What does that word, what does that mean to you?
Well, patriotism to me is twofold. One, it's love of country. And I personally am a military vet. I joined the Army 8 days after Iraq invaded Kuwait in 1990. So from a very personal point of view, that was my own personal patriotism.
Stupidity.
But I would say it manifests every day.
Right here in the radio.
Standing up for our country, standing up for what I believe are the truths and the truth. And I think that patriotism is really fighting to improve one's country each and every day. And I think that that's what we endeavor to do on the radio. And that's my version of patriotism.
Fine answer. I like that guy's answer. More of me on the ever-watched early morning July 4th edition of C-SPAN.
I actually saw it. I was at the gym working out on the
I can't believe you were at the gym on the 4th of July.
No, I got to do something, man. This doesn't just happen.
But you weren't even trying to watch me. You were flipping for Bloomberg.
And the thing double-skipped and went down to C-SPAN. I'm like, oh, yeah, see, Crudy. I was like, Crudy popped up. I was so excited, Crudy. But then I saw the graphics and incorrect information.
Wait.
But
we're short on time.
All right, go ahead.
Let's how people would find our show. It's kind of how I wrapped up the interview. and patriotism, the theme. Play it for the people. Cut six, E-Bone.
For folks who want to hear your show, is it available online?
The easiest way to find the Devil's Advocates is get the Civic Media app, Civic Media, in the iOS or the Google Store. We play out on all our talk stations across the state. We are Civic Media is a statewide network here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm the president of that corporation. My partner and I, he especially has made a huge financial investment here in the state of Wisconsin. But if you tune us in, get the Civic Media app. That's what the real patriots do.
Well, nice. I appreciate you taking time on this holiday, 4th of July, for joining us and hearing from our Washington Journal viewers. Mike Crute, thanks.
Thanks, Crute.
The most dynamic thing on C-SPAN.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the July 5th Hump Day Hangover Edition. You know, I had a bit of a fuzzy head that morning on C-SPAN. Might shock you, but I don't normally get up on a holiday at 8:30 in the morning to appear on, I guess that's network television? I was surprised at the number of callers they had on the topic of patriotism, though. You know, just like that many people listen to C-SPAN. Let's get to some of our
because, you know, the whole patriotism thing, it seems like, you know, the white Christian nationals kind of take this thing over. Like, they're the only ones that can be patriotic. And all you patriots, like, you know, the ones that stormed the Capitol, they view themselves as patriotic. And I just think that's not very patriotic. I think that's kind of rebellious.
Well, the real patriots get the Civic Media app, as I pointed out, and listen to us there.
Yes,
that's
they
what the
do.
Real patriots do.
Did you hear any definitions other than?
They're they had a CJ sort. They had a troll.
Right. Yeah,
and the troll said something to the effect: this woman apparently had said that there was a Ukrainian man that lived in her neighborhood, or she had some interaction with this person, and this guy had come to America effectively to, you know, leave a war zone.
Right.
That was his rationale for coming here. And she was so, you know, put back by the fact that this guy would immigrate here that she was ready to leave America.
Oh, wow.
And she called the Ukrainian man a coward. Although I don't know how she looked at her own conduct. If he's a coward for leaving a war, what are you for leaving because you don't like immigrants? Just a bigot? I don't... So,
yeah,
you know how it goes.
Yeah.
When there's one sort of bigotedy, carroty, troll sort of lady, other callers, like even an hour later, are still commenting on, and I got to talk about Bertha.
Right.
So, we'll see who inspires future callers, because our eagerly anticipated firebrand of a guest, Gemini, Scott Ross. Apparently a little detained in traffic.
He'll be here shortly. We promise.
We'll see if we've still got time for him or if we'll bump him for Gary from Sussex. How you doing, Gary? Welcome back.
Hey, Gary.
Hi, guys. Hey, I'm sorry I missed on C-SPAN yesterday, but that would have been kind of cool. Hey, I got
a audience of dozens. I feel quite confident, Gary.
Yeah, I bet. I do got a couple questions for you. First of all, I never hit a deer, but I was following behind a guy who did hit a deer, and half the deer, the hind legs, went right through the windshield, right through the passenger seat, took out the passenger seat, and ended up in the back seat. And the other half of the deer ended up in front of my car. That was the front half.
Wow.
So hitting a deer at a high rate of speed will kill you.
I've heard that. Joel Clayfish said... He said, in your little tin can, Crudy, you're lucky, because it was a big buck. It had a big rack, Gary. And, you know, if that rack had come through my windshield, you'd be at my funeral this week.
Then bad.
Or avoiding it.
Well, I hope not. But I do want to make a comment about the Supreme Court last week on the ruling about this gal that owned the website worker, and she didn't want to do it for the gay couple.
Yeah.
Okay. So what? See, the thing is this: I have, and you know, I'm a heating and air conditioning guy. I have quite a few homosexual gay couples, okay? That doesn't bother me. I go out there and I fix their stuff. I'm very nice to them. Everything is good. We don't talk about anything. I go over there because I want to, because they are a customer that needs heat or air conditioning, whatever. But I don't want the government going out there and making me do things that I don't want to do if it's against my belief.
But Gary, let me ask you, do you have to, if you're in business and you go to a black person's home, are you mandated? But understand, Gary, you could not discriminate against that very same person for being black.
No. And this customer called me. I'm working out in Waukesha. I go all the way out to 37th and Silver Spring and take care of that person. It was flooding because the drain line was plugged. And they thanked me for coming out on such short notice. I mean, I was there within like 2 hours of them calling me. And no, I help anybody. It doesn't matter who they
are. But the question, though, Gary, let me throw a couple of things at you here, Gary. Number one, this case that was brought up apparently didn't exist. I'm not clear that this lady actually ever made a website for anybody, let alone.
No one ever even asked her to. The evidence in the case is perhaps, let's just say, fabricated.
So that being said, number two, my understanding of the reading of this is one of the reasons they came down the way they did, they thought this was somehow free speech, and that providing this product or service to the public was some sort of form of expression because it had a creative bent to it. And for somehow, some way, she was able to use that as her basis, her religion, to influence that part of it. Because she couldn't do it by, putting nails into a wall. You know what I'm saying, Gary? So there are very specific, reasons why this one went the way it did. We can go that way, but I want to your specific question. Do you think, as someone engaged in business to the public, that you should be able to refuse to do business with somebody because of their race, creed, religion, ethnicity, gender, etc.? Do you think that should be allowed in the civil discourse of business in this country?
Well, I don't know, but I know that if I went into a fancy restaurant dressed the way I am right now in shorts and a tank top, they have a right to refuse to let me in.
Okay, but that's not a protected class. I mean, I'm not a fan of going up to
Mackinac
Island and putting on a jacket to go to the fancy hotel. Yeah. But if I had to do that and everyone has to do that, that's different than saying, well, you're black, you can't come in here. So, very specifically, Gary, I mean, I think there's a reason why that, because people will refuse to do business with black people or women or, minorities or gay couples or whatever the case may be, because they're bigoted, and they hide that bigotry behind their Bible, man. That's very problematic.
Not saying that's you, Gary, just saying that's people.
Yeah, I know, but the friends, most of my friends that I do have are either my neighbors, they may be Christians or not, they go to church or whatever. It doesn't matter. But any of my Christian friends that I know would never discriminate against anybody. I don't know. I've never heard of.
How about against an atheist? Against a punk atheist like Dominic.
I have no problems. I mean, I'd come out and fix either one of you guys' house.
Well, right, and then that's how it
should
be. But
you wouldn't buy us drinks, though, would you, Gary?
That's how it should be, Gary. That's how it should be. Yeah. But unfortunately, I mean, this case, if you agree with it, then you think, yes, I should be able to hide behind my religion, embrace my bigotry because the Bible says that man shall not lay with man. But here's the thing, Gary, I don't see her. If I go there and say, hey, I want you to do my restaurant and I'm offering shellfish, shrimp, and lobster, is she going to also refuse me or maybe open up a retail shop where I mix my linens and wools, Gary? You know what I'm saying? There's all sorts of things in the Bible that you're not supposed to do if you read it, and we've had these conversations, Gary, that I don't think you should be able to discriminate against the general public because you claim to have a religious belief.
And many use the Bible as justification for slavery in early times in America, Gary.
All right, but the thing is this. That case was that she was supposed to go out there and make a website for this gay and lesbian couple. Now, they also had a ruling about the cake guy, and they overruled that. And they also were in favor years ago for...
But, Gary, you realize the same court that ruled on Thursday that affirmative action is no longer a thing, that we're a post-racial society and ethnicity should not be a qualifier on the very next day, they issued a decision that said, but you can discriminate against someone on the basis of your religion. They're very contradictory rulings, Gary. Like, this form of discrimination is acceptable under law, but utilizing ethnicity is not acceptable under law. They're contradictory. The very six, right, same six came up with totally different rulings justified by their Bible, I think, Gary.
Let me ask you a question once. What if the government required you to have me come on your show and get my own little show a half an hour after or an hour after you were off the air, that the government would make you hire me? Now,
well, they couldn't make me hire you, Gary, but once upon a time they did require that news talk programs like this one, if I had a firebrand liberal like Scott Ross in studio, that I would offer some sort of contrary opinion, perhaps someone that was right of center, a counterbalance. I think they
went no place. It went no place.
Well, that was a federal mandate for years. That was removed under Reagan, I believe, Gary.
Okay. Well, the thing's over. What about paying off the student loans? I'm very happy that they didn't do that. I paid off our loans, my wife and I, and if some kid goes to college for a year and goes out and doesn't finish his schooling and then he drops out because he's partying all the time, and I'm supposed to pay for that? No.
Well, what if they're not partying all the time? Maybe they had a health emergency because, of course, we don't have health care in this country. Maybe they got to drop out to take care of elder parents. I mean, people get breaks all the time, Gary. Did you get some PPP money?
I know that.
You know what I'm saying? So here's the deal. Here's the deal, man. These kinds of situations, we have not funded. We have not properly funded our education. You got to get more than a high school education generally in this world these days, Gary. So, no, giving people a break, if you're fine with the billionaires and the PPP and all these other things, I mean, if student loans behave like billionaires, they'd get breaks, Gary, but they don't.
The fact of the matter is you choose to go to college. You know before you go to college
sure.
You're getting the
sure,
loan.
Sure, of course you do. But you know what you can't do, Gary? You can't write it off in bankruptcy. How about this, Gary? Would you go along? How come you can't write it off in bankruptcy? Do you think, Gary, you should be able to write off your student loans in a bankruptcy file and you can write off everything else? How about that?
I don't think – first of all, I've never come close to bankruptcy.
I'm not saying you have, but in the process of bankruptcy, you can no longer write off your student loans, Gary. So you're locked in for life. And that was a change. That wasn't always that way, Gary. So now you're stuck with it.
I think that these colleges and universities should start charging a reasonable amount of money to go to college. And we don't want everybody.
What about the for-profit colleges, Gary? Should we eliminate for-profit colleges? Colleges of higher education, air quotes, that charge tuition, and often the graduates are not able to find work because their degrees don't credential them in most professional fields. Think the University of Phoenix, Gary.
Think Trump University.
And you know who those often target? People with the GI Bill, veterans. A lot of veterans come back and don't finish their college degrees, Gary, and they find out the 2 years of the University of Phoenix really didn't qualify them to do anything.
Yeah, that's sad. I'd be
well, it's sad. It's a hustle. Doesn't it seem like a hustle, Gary?
I went to school, and then he told me my degree is worthless, you know?
At least you don't have a mass comm degree, Gary. We got Scott Ross in studio. We'll start with him in a minute, but let's get a few more callers in before this segment's over. Jeannie from Eau Claire, welcome.
Hey, Jeannie.
What do you got for us, Jeannie?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I think, you know, Gary, you sound like a really nice guy, and I'm really glad that you work with people and that you have Christian values. I guess Christianity means a lot of different things to different people. However, with the student loan business, I was never aware until I listened to the show, and some of your younger people and other people who have had student loans, I never realized how much it costs to go to school now.
It's way more than it used to be, Jeannie.
No lie. And then also is not being able to refinance your loan at a lower level, or if you get hurt or injured or you can't claim bankruptcy, That amazes me. That's a dirty deal, and they need to help these people that were taken advantage of. So I'm an old lady, and I think those people need to get help with their student loans. The rich people get bailed out all the time. They can claim bankruptcy and start another business. God darn it, help out the students. We need doctors. We need educated people in our society. Thank you, guys. You have a good day.
Thank you, Jeannie, for listening. We got a fine guest joining us momentarily on the airwaves. He's in the Solidarity Realty Studios now. He's Scott Ross. He's a Gemini. He's a firebrand. He's wearing a tuxedo shirt. Not sure what that is. Come back with us. We'll tell you all about his wardrobe.
What, dude?
His style choices.
You're looking good, Scott.
More Devil's Advocates. Always looking good. We're bringing sexy back.
Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us, click on the show tabs, and look for the Devil's Advocates.
Dominic, we welcome a friend to the Solidarity Realties, the Mad Radio Studios here in Madison. He is Scott Ross. He's a firebrand. He's a Gemini. He's a fashion plate. Welcome back, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
It's lovely to be here with both of you. And, you know, happy belated birthday.
And happy belated birthday.
We wanted
to
reach out
to
you. I was away, though, and unable to call in, but happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, too.
Good to see you both. I saw you. I heard your callers. And I wanted to point out two things that I absolutely have to. For your caller right before, the gentleman who was, or two before, that was talking about the GI Bill and such and for-profit colleges, the for-profit college industry is literally domestic war profiteers. Like, the percentage that they get, you know, they're like the highest percentage of any outfit out there in terms of getting federal government money. And you're absolutely right in everything you said. The second thing that a woman was pointing out about, like, not being able to discharge your student loans in bankruptcy, you know, and statute of limitations. There's currently, I think, five crimes in American jurisprudence that don't have a statute of limitations. Murder, kidnapping, fraud, treason, war crimes, and six is student loan debt.
Oh,
it's insane. It's insane. And what happened was, is that in the 19, and this is a bipartisan, colossal mess that was made. Let me just, you know, federally, huge problems. The Clinton administration, you know, wanted to increase Pell Grants. The Republicans said, well, you have to privatize Sallie Mae. And he agreed to do that because, again, the Republicans were controlling Congress. And as a result, and again, during the Bush administration, stripping away all the bankruptcy stuff, basically the banks learned, you know, and the federal government, if you give somebody a student loan, there is literally no way they don't have to pay it back. And so, like, the colleges, which, again, are being devalued by mostly Republican legislatures, like, for instance, in the state of Wisconsin in 1990, 10 cents of every GPR dollar was spent to higher education. That's now down to 2.5 cents after Thompson and Walker. And as a result, you put more burden onto the borrower or the family. So basically, we have a system. You're either rich or you have student loan debt. It's as simple as that. And, like, this whole debate that's happened as a result of, you know, Joe Biden trying to do the right thing and say, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 of loan forgiveness after we've rooked these people might be a way in which we can help them actually participate in the economy, something they're being denied right now. And it's just every argument that I hear, I have not heard one solid argument for why we shouldn't forgive student loans, a percentage of them, especially when you consider all the other stuff that we forgive.
Okay, here's the one that all the responsible conservatives say. If you take out the loan, it's your obligation to pay it back. What say you, Scott Ross?
The rules for student loans are different than every other commercial transaction in the United States. So all the consumer protections which are afforded commercial transaction don't exist for student loans. So it's already a rigged process. You know, yeah, if you take out a loan, great, pay it back. I had 26 years of student loan debt. Like, I made my final payment on my 44th birthday, probably you're like 31st, you young guy. You know, but like, I, how did, and I asked this question. We forgive Robin Voss's $297,600 PPP loan, right? He is not in any way, shape, or form required to be in business. He's not required to be a slumlord. He's not required to be a popcorn magnate. He has decided to do both. So why are we paying off? How does it help our economy to pay off his loan, which we all did 4/12/2020, but like giving 800 or 700,000 student loan borrowers who are in a rigged system a little bit of forgiveness so they can fully participate in the Wisconsin economy? How does that, I can't see how that won't be a boon to the economy. And we know it because, again, the PPP loans, like $800 billion, we've forgiven 85% of those, you know, to a bunch of clowns in Congress, to like, you know, like Matt Gaetz and right. Marjorie Nazi Taylor Green, right, you know, right. Yeah, like all that. So it's just crazy.
You know, Scott, I owned a little radio station at the time of the PPP loans, and I utilized SBA financing, federally subsidized business financing. Not only did they give me a PPP loan, which I utilized to keep people on the payroll, I thought it was a meritorious thing, at least in the case of my corporation. But the surprising part, they paid my SBA payments for me, not just the interest, also the principal. And I didn't even ask.
And that's great. Like, we are a society. We're supposed to be doing things. Like, I've heard, like, who was the, maybe it was Chuck Grassley or one of those, like, you know, hillbilly senators who was saying, why does a farmer have to pay off my, you know, blah, 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 blah. We are a society. I don't have a farm, you know, but I pay for subsidies for farmers because I think that's great.
$23 billion under Trump.
You know,
he was the biggest socialist.
Right? Right. I mean,
Mao.
You're exactly right. I mean, we pay for all these things. I don't have kids. I pay for people to have, do they still have, I know that Trump's tax law, you know, that gave all the money to billionaires,
yeah, the reform ran it,
may have taken away some of those, but like we, you know, we're society. Like, I like to ride my bicycle. I was reminded that today when I tried to drive on University and it was a parking lot because of some bad decisions, I think, in terms of how you set up for, you know, making left turns and such in a construction area. But I believe in paying for things like my roads and stuff, like all those things. We're a society. And again, this is an idea of the people who are going to college are hopefully creating jobs and doing things so that we can move forward as a society. But the anti-intellectualism of the Republicans, you know, who just, you know, their audience is 70-year-olds watching, you know, Fox News, and we've allowed this to become a thing.
America needs ditch diggers.
Okay, Judge Smales. But
I'm sorry. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Scott Ross, Firebrand Gemini, friend of the Devil's, joining us. He's going to stick around. We'll take your calls in the next hour as well, 844-967-2789. Briefly, okay, we put the student loan stuff aside. Here in the state of Wisconsin, we have today Tony Evers signing the budget, $99 billion, doing a little magic, apparently, into an increase for schools through the next 400 years. Scott Ross, what are your thoughts on what you've seen today?
I just want to, like, I used to work with Governor Evers, budget director. She was our research director at One Wisconsin Now. And I haven't talked to her about this, but there's just something about it that makes me, like, that they're part of this team that put together this total goose to the Republicans who have tried to starve public education is like, it's just so great. It's just magnificent.
400 years worth of consistent revenue increases and not a damn thing they can do about it.
Yep. You know, the good news is, like, I mean, if you look at the timeline, 400 years from now is about the same timeline that we're supposed to, you know, have Foxconn paid off or break even in terms of Walker and Robin Voss's plan on that.
So we'll get there eventually.
So we're going to, yeah, exactly.
All right, good.
You know, we used an earlier photo of you to try and mark your appearance today. The only one I had was the Fox condom photos.
Yes, as I believe
someone photoshopped the condom out.
I believe I titled that one The Greeting Line of Hell.
Yeah. Welcome to
the
hell.
Three of us holding condoms with Scott Walker's picture on them.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates, the happier happy hour with Scott Ross in studio on a rainy Wednesday that feels like a Monday.